So I'm kind of down on the bays. Go first, and that's two-thirds of the way down the armored. I'm $2.
$1
on the bays, yeah. We learned last time we were discussing the issue the Mishnah had discussed various cases where a woman is mutter to her husband, but then also to her yavama, or the other way around, or mutter or also to both of them. And in the course of discussing that, we mentioned the idea that, for example, we know a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha or a chalala or what have you. The reverse. But we said the reverse is not true. There's no iser on a bas kohen, for example, to marry a chalal. That a woman who is kosher, the kohuna, there's no iser on her. She's not allowed to marry a mamzer or nothing or somebody like that, which is iser ashava bako, which is an iser that applies equally to the whole Jewish people. But something like this, iser kohuna, there's no iser on a woman who is kosher, the kohuna, to go and marry somebody who would be kosher, the kohuna, such as a chalal. No, because he's not doing anything wrong like that. He's a cholol. He's allowed to marry. He's a cholol. He's allowed to marry a bas koyin, bas levi, or bas yisrael, or gyoros, or whatever. Yeah. But gufa, getting back to that, omer v'hod omer rav. We're saying that a kosher woman, there's no iser on her to marry a posel. So she's allowed to marry a cholol. And there's nothing wrong with it. She will become a halala thereby, but that's there's no iser on that. Something else is lema messiah lake, and we say that our Mishnah supports him. When the Mishnah had said cholol shenasa ksheira, the Mishnah had talked about a case of a cholol married a ksheira, where we said that she's mutter to him, and then we said if he has a brother who is a kohen, then fine, she'll be posel to the brother for yibum because she became halala. But what do we mean by ksheira? My love, kohenis harukilai. On the face of it, ksheira means a woman who means a bas kohen who's roy to marry a kohen, my ksheira lekohona, and ksheira would mean in the sense that she's the proper one to marry a kohen. What does this mean? Rashi says like this. We know that a kohen is allowed to marry a bas kohen, a bas levi, a bas yisrael, but Rashi points out, based on a Gemara in Pesachim, that if a kohen is able to marry a bas kohen, that's really the ideal. It's less ideal, Rashi's saying. Rashi mentions over there that there's an idea the Gemara calls a sudas or a shus. It's like an optional sudah, not really such a mitzvah, if a kohen is marrying a bas yisrael. So other things being equal, according to Rashi, a kohen should be marrying a bas kohen. So if we're saying over here ksheira lekohuna would mean a bas kohen, somebody who by rights should be marrying a kohen. Not everybody agrees with that, by the way, and the halacha is not necessarily like that, that there's any advantage to a kohen marrying a bas kohen.
You should have said that he's father king.
No, ksheira lekohuna would mean like the one who's most preferable. Yeah, okay. But not everybody agrees with that concept. Another way of looking at it is just the ksheira lekohuna means a regular woman, a bas yisrael, who exactly that is kosher to marry a kohen. And what would be the point? We're saying that a cholol is perfectly allowed to marry a bas kohen, and there's no problem with it. The answer is loy yisraelis, not necessarily. The Mishnah might mean, when it says ksheira, it might just mean a woman who is kosher to marry a bas yisrael can marry a kohen. After all, we're just saying, according to Rashi, that other things being equal, it's better if a kohen marries a bas kohen. But ksheira lekohuna could just as well mean a yisraelis. Or my ksheira lekohol. The word ksheira wouldn't mean over here relative to who a kohen marries, but rather the fact that she's kosher to marry anybody in the kohol, anybody in the wider Jewish community. So you don't really have a proof, in other words, from that, whether there's any issue with a bas kohen marrying a cholol.
It could go either way.
We can't prove it from the Mishnah. The question is, Yihachi Yeshle Och Kosher Nami, Kosher Lakahol, Mikwal Du Apostle Lakahol. So if so, if you're going to say the word Ksheira in the Mishnah means that she's kosher to marry anybody, that she's kosher to marry a Yisrael, for example, then what would it mean when the Mishnah continues that this Kahol has a brother who is kosher? What would kosher mean over there? Kosher Lakahol, Mikwal Du Apostle Lakahol. What would be the implication that the Kahol is not allowed to marry into the Kahol? Obviously not. A Kahol is allowed to marry into the Kahol. He's not a mamzer or nothing or psur daka or what have you. Elolav kohen. Obviously, the word kosher over here, when we say yeshle och kosher, means he has a brother who is a kosher a kohen. Umidruhu kohen he kohenes. And therefore, if the word kosher means a male kohen, then the word ksheira has to mean a female kohenes. And if we're saying, again, if Mishnah is saying that the Cholol is allowed to marry this Kohenis, then that proves Rav's point. That proves Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's point, that a Cholol is allowed to marry a Bas Kohen. That there's no Isser on the Bas Kohen to marry a Cholol. If you're saying that the word kosher, by definition, means a Kohen, which you have to, because otherwise what does Och Kosher mean? My answer is back, no. Not really a proof. Media area. What kind of a proof is that? Hakidisa. No. Okay. The word kosher doesn't always mean the same thing necessarily. When it comes to the brother, yes, kosher means a kosher a kohen as opposed to a cholol. When it comes to the woman, not necessarily ksheira means a bas kohen. It can mean a woman who's kosher to marry a kohen, meaning a kohenes levia or yisraelis, versus somebody who's posel, who's posel of a bakal, or who's posel to marry a kohen or whatever. No solid proof. Masiv Ravin Bar Nachman, you're telling me that a Kohenes has no Isser to marry a Bas Yisrael, but I have a contradiction. Bryce clearly says Lo Yikachu. The pasuk says when it talks about the women of Kohen is not allowed to marry. It says twice the expression Lo Yikachu. Isha Zayin of a Chalala Lo Yikachu. They should not take. The Isha Grusha Me Isha, and a woman who is divorced from her husband Lo Yikachu. Twice Lo Yikachu. Which comes to teach us that the woman has an iser not to marry the man. So it sounds like just like we're saying the kohen is not allowed, just like we're saying a male kohen is not allowed to marry, for example, a chalala or a grusha. So also it sounds like we're saying a bas kohen is not allowed to marry a chalala. So what are you telling me that there's no iser on her to do that? The answer is Omar Rava. So Rava says no, that's not what it means. What this limud that we just said means is any time that he has an isser to marry a certain woman, she also has the isser to marry him. In other words, if a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, it's not because he's being over on the isser if he marries her. She's also being over on the isser. Don't think it's a mitzvah of a kohen and therefore she's just like a passive partner. No, by agreeing to get married to this kohen, she's also being over on that isser. That's what it means. Malamet she'isha she'ishim uzheres
aideish. A man rather than a woman.
Right, but v'chol heicha dehuloy mozer. But if he has no isser to marry her, a cholol has no isser on who he's allowed to marry. He loy with minara. Then she's also not. Then she's there's also no isser on her either. So it's not. We're not talking about a different case. We're just talking within the same case. Any time when he has the isser, she also has it. That's what we learn from this limud. Yeah. Question is, is that where you learn this from this extra law yikachu, that the same issue applies to the man and to the woman? We learn it from what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav. When the pasuk says isha isha ki yasa mikochat asadam, a man or a woman if they do anything any averus, hishra kasev isha leish lachalayin shin shematera, we see from that that the Torah equates men and women as far as all the punishments in the Torah. The general rule is that just like men are chayev, all the loisa says women are chayev, and all the loisa says that men are chayev. With a couple of exceptions, it was actually in today's Rambam Shlosha Prakim that the mitzvahs having to do with cutting your payas or your beard are and kohen and becoming tamei are three lavin that don't apply to women that apply to men. But in general, the same lavin that apply to men apply to women, and the same punishments that apply to men apply to women. So we know that already from that. We don't need the law yukachu to teach us that if a kohen's not allowed to marry a grusha and he gets malchus for it, then she's also going to get malchus, for example, for marrying him. The answer is no, we still need both of them. Imeahi, if we only had that pasuk isha isha, have amid a lava shava bakol, and he would say, okay, you know what, that applies to mitzvahs that apply generically to the whole Jewish people. But the mitzvahs that apply specifically to kohenim, just like we're saying, for example, the mitzvah of tumas kohenim only applies to men, not to women, because emer al kohenim bnei aaron v'lo bnei aaron. So you might have thought a mitzvah that applies only to kohenim, then maybe it only applies to kohen himself is not allowed to marry the grusha. The grusha herself maybe doesn't have any issue marrying the kohen. That's why we need that. That's why we need the lo yikachu. That's why we need the lo yikachu. Okay. There are mafoshim who take up that point, and some of them say that that's basically what the pasuk is saying over here by this lo yikachu, is clarifying that this is an example of lifnei aver. Okay. The question is, how do tuma delav chain shavu b'kol? Okay. Well, how about tuma then? Tuma, kohen becoming tamei, is in fact a lav that does not apply. apply generically to everybody. A Yisrael has no Isser on becoming Tomei. Only Kohenim. The time at the cost of Nachman, B'nai Aaron, V'lei B'nai Aaron. And you know why we're saying that women are potter from it is only because the pasuk specifically starts off by saying, Emer al Kohenim, B'nai Aaron, from which we learn V'lei B'nai Aaron, not the women. Ha'olav ha'chi ha'vamin and Nashim Chayavis. If not, if we didn't have the word B'nai Aaron, then we would think women, B'nai, the wives of Kohenim or daughters of Kohenim also have an Isser against becoming Tomei. And my time, wouldn't that be based on what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said? So again, we're back to the question, why would we need lo yikachu to teach us that there's a separate thing when it comes to marriages, when even when it comes to tumah, we would think it's included in the same din of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, and we need the special limud b'nei Aaron to tell us that not. And the answer is lo yikachu. No, we're not learning it from what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said. We're actually learning it from from lo yikachu. We would think, there we have an example, lo yikachu, there you see there's a case of a mitzvah that does not apply to the whole Jewish people, only to Kohenim, and you're saying it does apply to the Grusha. So you would think on that basis, by the same token, then the din about a Kohen not becoming Tomei would also apply to the women as well, and therefore you need B'nai Aaron to tell us that not. So in other words, the logic so far goes as follows. We're saying, generally speaking, when it comes to an Isra Shava Bakol, then we have a Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav statement. Since it says Isha, then we learn the same lavim apply to men and women, and the same punishments apply to men as to women. When it comes to a lav she'ein Shava Bakol, a mitzvah that applies only to Kohenim, like marriages or Tumah. So when it comes to marriages, we need the Pasuk Lo Yikachu. And once we had that, we would think it applies to all Lav Vashal Vakol. Therefore, we have B'nai Aaron to tell us that Tumah is excluded. As opposed to we were thinking the other way around. We were thinking that we're learning Tumah from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, and we're saying that no, we would have learned it from Lo Yikachu. Ikadamri, others say the logic goes a little bit differently. Kicha et dirchele, we need the pasuk about kicha, we need the pasuk lo yikachu. Sakudat hamina ligma mituma, because otherwise you might have thought the other way around. We see that tuma doesn't apply to women. If it weren't for the pasuk lo yikachu, we would have said, just like tuma doesn't apply to women, neither does the isra on marriages. So the grusha wouldn't get punished for marrying the kohen. And wouldn't have an Isra on marrying him. Kamash Malan, and that's the Chiddush. Either way, however you look at it, the point is that we need the Lo Yikachu to tell us specifically about a mitzvah that is not Shavu Bakol, a mitzvah that only applies to Kohenim.
One or the other.
Yeah, however you look at it. Getting back to the topic about Ksheiros and Psulim, Gemara says, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua Iklu LeHinsavu. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua one time visited Hinsavu, is the name of a place, which was LaAsre of Idi Ba'ovin. This is where Rav Idi Ba'ovin lived. And Bo Minayu. They asked them the following question: Who's the Ruksheiros LeNasal Apsul and Eloi? Just like what we're discussing over here. Does a Bas Koyan have an Isser on marrying an apostle, a Cholol, for example, or not? Amalahu Rav Papa Tinisua. So Rav Papa says, and you can prove it. We have a Mishnah in Kedushin. The Mishnah there lists, Asara Yuchsid Olamid Bavel, there's 10 categories of Jews who came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ezra. Indeed, with Ezra's Yotzer, that's true. Testavos, yeah. Koinim Levim Yisraelim, Chalolim Gerim B'charurim, Charurim are freed slaves, Umamzerim, the Sinim, which we discussed in the previous Perek, the Givonim over there, who tricked Yeshua and the Jewish people, Shsuki Vasufi, we've had those categories earlier in the Masechta also. A Shsuki is somebody who he knows who his mother is, but he doesn't know who his father is. It's called Shsuki because every time he asks about his father, his mother tells him to be quiet. We don't know who his father could have been. His father could have been a kosher, a apostle, a goy. We really don't know.
He could be a mamzer.
He's a Suffolk mamzer, basically. And Asufi is a foundling, a baby that was found abandoned, where you don't know who his parents were, b'chlalas. He might be a goy, he might be a mamzer, he might be a kosher, you have no way of knowing. Anyway, so those are the 10 categories. The Gemara explains the Gemara of Psukim over there, from the Psukim over there in Ezra and Nehemiah, that show that there were all 10 of these types of Jews there. And the Mishnah continues, why are they listed in that order? Kohenim, Levim, Yisraelim, Mutarim, Lavi, Zevazeh. So the Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim are all allowed to freely intermarry.
Oh.
What? Yeah, they're all considered the kahal. Levim, Yisraelim, Chalalim, Gerim, Charurim, Mutarin, Lavei, Zebezeh. Other than Kohanim, the next five categories are all allowed to intermarry freely. So a Levi can marry a Yisrael or a Ger or a freed slave or a Chalal. Geri, Charuri, Ramzeri, Nisini, Shtuki, Vasufi, Mutarin, Lavei, Zebezeh. Then from the Gerim and on until the end of the list, all of them are allowed to freely intermarry. Why? The Gemara talks over there in Kedushin about the details, because when you get down to it, the Shesuki and the Asufi are only Sufik Mamzer. Why are they allowed to marry a Bade Mamzer? The Gemara has a whole long discussion of it over there. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, V'ilu Kohenes L'chol L'Kotonim. So what do you see? You see the Mishnah does not say that a Bas Kohen is allowed to marry a Cholol. It only says the Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim are allowed to freely intermarry. It implies that the Bas Kohen is not allowed to marry a Cholol. So there you go. No, that doesn't prove anything. Because the Mishnah is only, when the Mishnah says this and this are allowed to freely intermarry, it means in either direction. It means, for example, a male Kohen is allowed to marry a female Yisraelis, or vice versa, a Bas Kohen is allowed to marry a male Yisrael. So therefore, it'll list it. Kohen, Tibin de Ilu Borila Minsav Chalala Asira Leila Katoni. A Kohen can't marry a Chalala, so you can't say as a blanket statement that Kohenim can intermarry with Chalalim. But that doesn't prove anything to say that a Kohen Nes can't marry a Chalal. You don't prove
it.
No, so it wouldn't have included it because you're only including cases where a man can marry a woman in either direction. Here it's only a wonder. Here, if you say that a kohenis is allowed to marry a cholol, fine, but that's only a one-way thing. A kohenis can marry a cholol, but a kohen can't marry a cholola. So the fact that the Mishnah leaves it out doesn't really prove anything. Okay, so they're at an impasse. Rav Papa is saying one way, Rav Huna Bredi Rav Ishua is saying the other way. Also, the Kamei Rav Idi Ba'Avin. So they came to Rav Idi Ba'Avin, who we said before this was the city where he lived. He was the Rav there. He was from the previous generation. Amalu, he says to them, Gardiki, like little kids, like you guys don't realize what you're talking about.
We
had that expression before, yeah. Hachi Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Listen, you don't have to go start analyzing Mishnayos and figuring it out. I'll tell you straight out. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, Lo Hozru Ksheiros Le'Nasal Apsulim. There is no Isser on a Ksheir on a Bas Kohen to marry a Apostle, a Cholol. So there you go. You don't need to figure out whether the Mishnah implies it or not. I have it as a straight statement. And that's the maskana. So the maskana is that a Bas Kohen is allowed to marry a Cholol.
Here means
Chol, right? So apostle here means Chol, yeah. Right. Again, it can't mean apostle Chol, because obviously she has an issue to marry him, yeah. All right. Then the Mishnah said, Shnius midivrei sofrim. The Mishnah had talked about the case where the woman was a Sheni. We had the various possibilities. She was a Shnius to her husband, but not to the Yavam, or to the Yavam, but not to the husband, or both, or neither. And then the Mishnah had gone into a whole long discussion, a side discussion about what happens if a woman who is a Shnia marries, if a woman marries somebody to whom she's a Shnia, then we said there's all kinds of ways in which to cancel her. She doesn't get her ksuba, and she doesn't get her, and she doesn't get back the payrus that her husband ate, and so forth. A Shnia was one of the relatives that are only also midrabbanim. So for example, yeah, let's say, for example, Minatorah, you're not allowed to marry your mother or your mother's mother. Midrabanan, you're also not allowed to marry your mother's mother's mother. Yeah. We had in the second paragraph, we had a list of about 20 such cases. So, b'nei biri mirav sheshes. So the people of Biri asked Rav Sheshes as follows. Shniel abal v'le shniel yavam. What happens? This woman was a shniel to the original husband. Then her husband died. Now she's up for yibum. She's not a shniel to the yavam. Yesh la ksuba mi yavam my life. Does the yavam have to give her a ksuba or not? What's the point? Kiven de amma ma'a ksubas al nixa by le'arishin. Usually we say that the yavam does not write her a separate ksuba because usually the ksuba is a continuation from her first marriage. We had the expression previously, isha hiknu loy min hashamayim, that he didn't do the kiddushin on his own. It was done for him min hashamayim. And the ksuba remains that her first husband's estate is going to be responsible for the ksuba. Well, then Lesla, in that case, she shouldn't have because she wasn't supposed to get her ksuba from her first husband because we said she's a shnia. So therefore, here also now. Dilma, or maybe not. Given to Ilu less lamadushin takinu l'rabbanan misheni. We did say there that if, for whatever reason, she has no ksuba from her first husband, for example, there's no money left, then the second husband, the yavam, does have to write her a ksuba. The rabbanan did make a takana because they said we don't, after all, the whole idea of a ksuba is shaloite kalab ein of laitzia. We don't want that he should just on a whim divorce her. We want it to hurt him a little bit so he'll think twice about it. So therefore, there has to be a ksuba. So here also, she didn't have a ksuba from her first husband because she was a shnia. So now there should be one. So therefore, isla. Well, you see, it says in the Mishnah, the Mishnah said that her ksuba goes against the property of her first husband. The imahaisa shniyah labal. But then the Mishnah continued, if she was a shniyah to the husband, afilu miyavam ain la, then she doesn't even get anything. She doesn't even get anything from the yavam. So there you go. She doesn't get anything from the yavam. We're called the ikka to islam yavam. So what do you mean? Are you implying that there's a case where? What's the Mishnah saying over there? Afilu miyavam that even in that case, afilu miyavam ein la. That it, even from the yavam does not imply that there are cases where she would get something from the yavam. The Braisa didn't say anything about that. Right, chsuri mechsera. Okay, the Braisa is missing words. V'achik tzatani. What it means is like this: ksuba sal michse b'alei arishin. Ksuba is it goes on the first husband's property. The e less the arishin takina lo misheni. If the first husband didn't have, then we said they were misakin that she gets from the second husband. The im ha'isa shniyah labal afilu miyavam ein la. That's what the missing part was that little detail over there. That when do we say it goes on the yavam if there was nothing left from the original husband? In this case, though, since she was a shniyah to the original husband, then there's no ksuba at all. It's going to be kalabain of laitzia. He's going to feel easy to divorce her. Okay, but that's her problem for having married his brother in the first place. Yeah. Next, b'minei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan. How about the various cases where it's also daraisa? We learned in the Mishnah again that the shniyos, we said they don't get a ksuba, they don't get mizonos, etc. So how about almana l'kohen gadol, a kohen gadol marries an almana, or grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hadyet, yesh lahen mizonos, ayin lahen mizonos? Are they entitled to support from their husband or not? We're asked, what do you mean? Hey, chidami, what kind of case are we talking about? Ilima de yasva tosei. Are we talking about where they're actually still married? She's living together with him. Of course, there's no mizonos. But I'm right behind the kai. The Beis Din is gonna if she comes to Beis Din to sue her husband for mizonos, Beis Din is gonna tell her, what mizonos? You need to get divorced. Mizonos is what? So how are they gonna set up mizonos? How are they gonna set up that she's gonna be supported by her husband when they're gonna be telling her, you know what, you need to be getting divorced from him? Yeah. So the answer is loitzricha. No, the case that we're talking about, the case that Rabbi Elazar is asking about, shahalach hu l'medinas hayam. Suppose, and we talked about this in the Mishnah, the husband went overseas, the love sava achla, and she borrowed money from somebody else in order to support herself while her husband's away. Yeah. But normally, the normal situation, if it was a kosher marriage, the normal situation in that case would be she does that. When her husband gets back home, she goes and pays the guy she borrowed from, and then she sues her husband in Beis Din to get him to reimburse her for that. The question is, in this case, does that work? Does she have the right to sue him for that? So what do we say? Mizoyne tnoik suba ninu. Do we say that mizoynes is one of the basic tnoik suba, which we'll learn about in ksubas, and mid isla ksuba isla mizoyne? And since our Mishnah said that she does have a ksuba, it's true she wasn't allowed to get married, but we don't counsel her to lose her ksuba for reasons that we'll talk about soon. So therefore, if she has a ksuba, then automatically she has the right to mizoynes. Maybe the difference is, what happens with the ksuba? If she gets divorced is when she gets the ksuba. So fine, Beis Din will say, hey, you can have your ksuba. Get divorced as soon as possible, and fine, you're entitled to your ksuba. But when it comes to mizonos, we might argue, Beis Din might have to figure, you know what? What's going to happen? We arrange that she gets paid back for these mizonos. That happens while they stay married. we're trying to force the issue to get there to get him to divorce. Maybe on the contrary, maybe we shouldn't allow her to get that, and that way she'll be, you know what, I want out of this. I spent all this money while my husband was away. I'm not even getting anything for it. I might as well at least get my ksuba, and then yeah. Amalei, said Rabbi Yochanan, answers him, Lesla. You're right. She doesn't get mizonis in that case. So she's not entitled to sue him for reimbursement of that. And Tanya Yeshla, we have another braisa that says that she does have. No, we're not talking about Yibum over here. We're talking about a regular case. We're talking about a regular case where a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, or Grusha, or what have you. Then he travels out of the country. So she borrows money for her upkeep. Now, when her husband, the Kohen Gadol, gets back, we're asking, does she have the right to take him to Beis Din and force him to pay up so she can pay the guy she borrowed from? That's one of the tonight's so. Right. That's what we're saying. That in this case, since it was a possible of marriage, then we're saying that no. But we have a price that says that she can. Okay, so Kohen Hedyot and a Grusha or whatever. I mean, the Kohen Gadol, okay, you're right. I mean, the Kohen Gadol, technically, the Rambam says, shouldn't really be leaving your Shalayim at all. Okay, but it could happen. You know. Yeah, whatever. Mizonis of the children is a different matter. I mean, the children are children. We're not, you know.
She borrowed money to pay for everything.
For Vashta to pay for herself. No, whatever she borrowed for the children, that maybe she does have the right to, because that's not really Shnoi Ksuba. It's his own personal responsibility. Yeah. At least until they're six, anyway. Yeah. You know, we'll get to that in Ksuba.
We're talking about that she shut her own house in. What does she care about
them before
she gets back the money?
She's
part of her husband's
estate. Okay. I mean, she borrowed money. She's going to have to pay back the guy. But yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, so Vatanya Yeshla, but we have another braisa that says that she is entitled to recover this money. The answer is Kitanya Yilachamisa. That braisa is talking about if her husband died, then she's entitled to sue the estate for that. Because then you can't say already, what was the problem? We said aim law because we said less law because we don't want her to be ma'akiv by him. We don't want her to stay in this marriage any longer than necessary. If he's dead, that's not an issue anyway. So she might as well, so then we might as well allow her to recover it.
And it only applies after
years. Right. Or divorce, yeah.
Are we rewarding her for something?
No, because she. Oh,
no, that's the point.
No. We're saying in the case of Shnias in our Mishnah, we actually gave her a knas that we deny her the usual rights that a woman has in a marriage, including to her ksuba and mezonos and whatnot. Here, what we're saying is, when it comes to an issur d'oraisa like this, for reasons that we're going to get to soon, we're not canceling her like that. We are saying though, we don't want to make any arrangements that are going to make it possible for her to stay in this marriage any longer than necessary. So once the marriage is over, then yeah, there's no reason to deny it to her anymore. Istamar, a different version of how this discussion went was Amalei that Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Tanya Yeshla. There's a braisa that says that she does have. And the question is, Rabbi Loza asks him back, "What do you mean? How is she entitled to mezonos? Beis Din is going to be trying to force him to divorce her. How are they sitting and arranging mezonos over there? The Ela Hatanya Yeshla. Okay, but what do you do with that braisa Yeshla? And the answer is Kitanya Ilachamisa. That braisa is talking Lachamisa, so it amounts to the same thing as before. That we say that it's just a different way of reaching the same conclusion. Yeah." She is entitled to a ksuba payment. Peiros, she's entitled to be reimbursed for the peiros that her husband ate from the nichsim alug while they were married. Mizonis, she's entitled to support, as we discussed just now, that we're to be reimbursed for what she borrowed for that purpose. Blois, she's entitled to the worn out clothes that are left over from the nichsit zayin bazel. Like we mentioned yesterday, she brought clothes into the marriage, for example, and after a while they get worn out. So we said in the case of the shniyos, we don't allow her to take those. We can't say that's another one of the knusim that we put on her, that we deny her that. Usually she's entitled to them when the marriage is over. In this case, it was an issur d'oraisa, the marriage, so we do allow it. The Hipsula, however, she is possible to she becomes possible to ever marry a Kohen or eat Truma because she became a Chalala, or according to the Rambam Mazona. Uvlad are pasul. Her children are also pasul because they're halalim. Yeah, pasul as in the corner. Yeah, they're halalim. The kofin oitz lahotzi, and basically is going to force him to divorce her. However, on the other hand, shniyas medivrei sofrim, if she was offered to him only midrabanan as a shniya, then aim la ksuba like peiros lemzonis leblois, then she does not get any of these things. Ksuba, she's not entitled to the peiros reimbursement or the mezonis reimbursement or the blois. The blois is the worn out clothes. However, vihik shera, but she's kosher to marry a kohen in the future. Or to marry anybody in the future, Uvlad is kosher, and her child is kosher. But Kofi knows the Lahitzi, and also Beis Din is going to force him to divorce her. So, Amr Rab Shimon Elazim, if Ma Amr Amon Alakon Gadol Yesh L'Ksuba, so why, Taka, why are we more machmir on the Shnia and denying her Ksuba than we are with the Amon Alakon Gadol or the other cases, which are also Medar Raisa? The difference is, Mipnesha, who possible, he psula, precisely because he is possible, and precisely because not only she becomes possible to marry a Kohen, he's also losing out from it. He becomes possible in the sense that as long as a Kohen is married to a woman that he's also to be married to, he is not allowed to serve as a Kohen in the Beis Mikdash. Well, nowadays, I think he's not allowed to duchen. Which is the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Therefore, it's less likely in that case that the marriage is her fault because he's also losing out from it.
They both.
Yeah. So that's the question. Any place where he is possible and she is possible, kansu oisik ksuba. Then they cancel him in the sense that he has to pay the ksuba. because given what's the idea? We want them to get divorced as soon as possible in either of these cases, whether it's also deraisa or derabanan. We want to get them divorced as soon as possible. The difference is, in the case when he also is possible, that itself is going to cause friction between them. The fact that he himself is, you know, after a while, he's going to start thinking to himself, you know what, I'm never able to serve in the mitzvah, especially when it's my turn, I'm never able to duchen. After a while, he's going to start feeling bad about it and want to divorce her. So therefore, the fact that he's going to have to pay huksuba is not going to make him want to stay in this marriage any longer than he otherwise would have. As opposed to in the case of Shnias, or with name Ma Omer Shnias Medivra Seif from Einlam Ksuba. So why are we saying that if she's Usher only Midrabanan, why is she not getting a Ksuba? Why are we fining her? Why are we canceling her? Because in that case, he remains Kasher and so does she. Any place where they both stay Kasher, then we cancel her. Why? Because in that case, there's nothing that's going to induce them to end the marriage. Like this, they could go on indefinitely. Like this, they're going to say, so what? You know, I'm a Kohen. I'm still allowed to function as a Kohen. She's thinking to herself, you know, I'm still allowed to, you know, if I was a Bas Kohen, for example, originally, whatever, I'm still allowed to eat truma. Let's say, you know, I will be able to eat truma eventually again. The children are going to be kosher. There's nothing inducing them to end the marriage. Mashenkin, you say that she's not going to get her ksuba, that already starts creating a certain pressure on her. You know what? What am I doing in this marriage? What am I going to ever get out of it? I might as well get divorced and go marry somebody that I can actually have a ksuba with. Which also the idea, as Rashi points out, the deal is, we know, the Gemara mentions in a bunch of places, that women are that women are more eager to get married than men are. You know, I mentioned in a bunch of places, Tavla Mesef Tandu, Mila Mesef Armalu. A woman would rather be married, kind of almost like to anybody, rather than have to live alone. So therefore, other things being equal, in a case like this, if Shnias, it's more likely that she's more eager to be married than he is. He might have thought twice about it. She, you know, as long as she's married, she's satisfied. So therefore, we want to make her dissatisfied. And how do we do that? By taking away her ksuba and all the other tshnoi ksuba. And that way, hopefully, we make her a little dissatisfied, and that way she'll want out.
Not up to her, it's up to him to do it.
True, but she can at least, you know, she can talk him into it.
Like,
make him. Yeah, exactly.
She may be
Rebbe, Rebbe says there's a different reason to make the distinction. Halalu divrei Torah, because when it comes to the almana of the Kohen Gadol and Grusha to the Kohen Hediot, etc., those are Isurim Daraisa. The divrei Torah and Tzurich and Chizuk. An Isur Daraisa does not need to be strengthened. It's already Osir. They're already getting themselves into a Chiyuv Malkus. The Chachamim don't have to make a further siyag on it to make her lose her Ksuba, etc. Because already they know, they should already know they're getting themselves in big trouble anyway. The halala divrei seifrim, where it's shniyas, is only a matter of derabanan. The divrei seifrim, tzurich and chizuk, a thing derabanan needs to be strengthened. People are likely to be careless with it. Davar acher, another explanation. Zehu magila, v'zuhi magilasei. In the one case, he's the one. In the case of an aman l'kain gadol, for example, he's the one more likely who's convincing her to get married. Whereas in the case of the Shani, it's Vizuhi Magulasai, in the second case, again, since she's not possible, since she has nothing to lose from it, she's more likely to be the one talking him into, you know what, let's go ahead and get married. It's an Issa Dinabanan, so what? It's not like we lose anything out of it. Magula means Zehu Magula, in the one case, he is the one who convinces her to get married. The Amon of the Kohen Gadol, for example. So therefore, we should give him the Knaf. He's the one who's going to be fined. He's the one who's going to have to pay the ksuba, even though Beisdin is forcing him to divorce her and pay her ksuba, because we assume that he's the one who initiated it and then convinced her to go along with him.
Even if he's going to.
So that's the thing. So we force him to divorce her, but we make him pay her ksuba. Whereas in the case of the Shnias, we assume that she's the one who initiated it and talked him into going along with it. So therefore we cancel her and then deny her the ksuba. The question is Dava Achaman Katanila. Which Tana is it that's saying this Dava Acha Zero Magula? We mentioned a few reasons. Which Tana is the one who says that idea? So Ika de Amr of Shimon Elazar Katanila. So some say that it's Shimon Elazar saying it. Umatam Kama, and he's explaining like this. When we said before, so because what did we have before? We had before in the Braisa, we mentioned the difference between the Daraisa and Drabanan, and then we said that Amr of Shimon Elazar, what's the reason for the difference, is because in the one case they're both possible and in the other case they're not. Then we said, and then we had Rebbe's reason about Divrei Torah versus Divrei Seferim. So the question is, we have Shimon Elazar's reason, we have Rebbe's reason, all of a sudden we have this Davar Acher. So who is the Davar Acher, and which Tana is the one who's adding that as a second reason? The Ikedamer of Shimon Elazar, some say that it's a continuation of Shimon Elazar's statement. He's saying like this, Matam, he's explaining himself. Matam Amru Hu Pasul Hu Psula Kansu Oisek Suba. Why is it that we say that when he is Pasul to serve as a Kohen and she's Pasul to ever marry a Kohen, why is that? Why then are we saying that we cancel him by making him pay Huk Suba? Because he's the one. Because in that case, we assume that he's the one who initiated it and got her to go along with it. Because since she knows she's going to be posel and her children are going to be halalim, she won't have been the one to come up with this idea that let's get married. It's more likely that he'll have been the one. It's more likely that he'll have been the one to come up with it.
You know, he wouldn't be allowed to work with him.
Right, but he might think of that as kind of a minor thing. Okay, so I won't be able to work in the business. That's big deal. And it's temporary. Yeah, Mashenkin, for her, it'll be a permanent thing. Yeah. And then Rav Shimon Elazar continues, why are we saying that if both of them are kosher and the children are kosher, then why do we cancel her by denying her the ksuba? Because in that case, we can assume she's the one who initiated it. Because then we assume the usual rule, a woman would rather be married to an unsuitable man than the other way around. Here, since she figures she has nothing to lose, she's more likely to have been the one to talk him into it. And therefore, we cancel her. So according to that,
they're both kosher.
This case of Shnias, he remains kosher to serve in the Mishnah. She, yeah, because Medar Eisa, there's no issue, yeah. So that's one way of looking at it, is that this Dover Acher about Magula and Magulatai is a continuation of Shimon Elazar's explanation. Ikedama, another way of looking at it, is Rebbe Katanila, that it's a continuation of Rebbe's statement. and b'chalutz of kakashalei, because what did Rebbe say? The difference between deraisa and derabanan. The problem with that is that one of the cases that we said, which we had in the deraisa category, is a chalutza marrying a kohen, and that's only also a derabanan. Yeah, we brought earlier in the Masechta, we brought a pasuk that we brought a pasuk for it, the isha grusha meisha, but we said that's an asmachta. The actual isha of a chalutza to a kohen is only the derabanan. So then, Rebbe has a problem with his own explanation. What do you mean, divrei Torah versus divrei sefer? Then how do you explain the chalutza? V'ha chalutza derabanan v'isla ksuba. The fact is, a chalutza is only also derabanan, and yet we're saying she has a ksuba. Hado amar. So then he thought, you know what? Here's a better reason. Kiven to pasul lama derabanan. Since, after all, in that case, he does pasul her from truma midrabanan. Because again, she's chalutza to kohen, and from now on, she's going to be pasul to truma. On a drabanan basis, therefore zero magilate. So therefore, you have this. Still, there's this idea that because this chalutza is going to become possible, therefore, even though the actual issue itself is only drabanan, but because she knows she's going to become possible from it, and her children are going to be chalulim and drabanan, therefore, she won't come up with the idea. She'll just go along with it. Therefore, we shouldn't cancel her. Ashenkin, in the other case of the shniyas, the way we will. Zeru Magila, he is the one who convinces her to get married, versus Zuri Magilata in the case of a Chalutza. In other words, even though Grusha and Chalutza, even though the origin of the Isra is different in either case, Grusha is Deraisa, Chalutza is Derabanan, but in terms of the actual effect on the woman, they have the same effect. They both make her possible, one Deraisa, one Derabanan, so therefore it's more logical to assume that therefore it's more logical to assume in that case that she wouldn't have been the one to come up with the idea. Okay, Ma'ik ben Rabbi L'Rabshem ben Elazar. Okay, so we have two reasons, two or three reasons why the difference. What's the nafkamina? Amar of Chista, mamzeres and a sinner li Yisrael, l'kabinayu. The nafkamina between them would be, what if you have a mamzeres or a sinner that was married to a Yisrael? Do we say that she gets a ksuba or not? If you say that it's a question of daraisa or darabanan, okay, the issue of a mamzer to a Yisrael is also daraisa. So therefore, once we're saying, according to Rebbe's reason, that Divrei Torah ain't Tzrichim Chizuk, then there's no reason to deny her the Ksuba. They already know they're being over on an Isur Lav. They already know they're setting themselves up for Malchus. You don't need to further strengthen it by taking away her Ksuba.
Because
Mamzer is Deraisa. Manda Omer, Neshuv Magila, Hohim Magila, whereas according to the idea that it depends on which one initiated it, well, she doesn't. The mamzeres doesn't become any worse off by marrying a Yisrael. Her children are going to be mamzerim no matter what. So therefore, it's more likely to assume that she's the one who talked him into marrying her. And therefore, according to that way of looking at it, you should deny her uksuba as a knas. Okay. So the question is, Ula Rabbi Eliezer. Actually, it's not only that she's not worse off. It's actually she might Davka want to do this in order. She might actually want to do this in order to make her children better off. Why? Because the Mishnah in Kiddushin discusses like this. Normally, we know Mamzerus goes from generation to generation. Gamzer Asiru La Yavolam B'Kal Hashem. But there is a way to take off Mamzerus. We mentioned it briefly before. Suppose that a mamzer marries a shivcha. Now the children, we learned a few times already in the Masechta, the children of a shivcha go after the mother, so they're considered avodim. Now if their father, the mamzer, okay, he's not considered their father la halacha because the avodim aren't considered to have a father in halacha. If he now frees them, makes them avodim mishachrorim, and the Mishnah says over there, so now they become regular Jews. They become Avodim Mishachrorim, the sixth category that we had over there in Asar Yosin. So the Mamzeres has been taken off. So what do you have there for? A Mamzeres might Davka want to marry a Yisrael in order that then later on they'll be able to eventually arrange this kind of thing. They can arrange to have one of their children, who yes, will still be a Mamzer, marry a Shivcha, and then at least their grandchildren will be kosher.
So it's not considered a God?
No. And a mamzer is allowed to marry a shivcha, precisely for this reason, in order to be able to be mitahar his children. So therefore, it's not just that she's not losing out by marrying a Yisrael. She might be doing it davke in order to gain for her future descendants, and therefore we should cancel her. Okay, the question is, no, that doesn't work according to everybody, because in that same Mishnah there in Kedushin, Rabbi Eliezer goes on to say that, no, I disagree with that concept. If you do like that, if a mamzer marries a shikha, and then they have a child who is considered an eved, then no, that child will be not only an eved, but also a mamzer. You free him, very well, he's back to being a mamzer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no way of taking off mamzerus, in other words. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't say he magilata. Why would the mamzerus want to marry Yisrael? She's not. She may not be losing anything from it, but she's not gaining anything either. She might as well just marry a fellow mamzer.
According to Rabbi
Eliezer. Yeah, but according to that opinion, we still have to answer the question: what happens if a mamzeret marries a Yisrael? Where we're saying we want to say that if he magilata, that if she's the one who came up with the idea to get married, then we should deny her uksuba. According to Rabbi Eliezer, why would she do that? She has nothing to gain from it. Ela Amar Rabbi Yosef, Machzu Grusha Mishanisis Ikabinayu. So no, Rabbi Yosef says, how about another possibility? If a man remarries his wife after she was divorced and married somebody else, which we talked a number of times already is also Minatara, that would be the Nafkamina. Mainly, Manda Amar Daraisa Hanami Daraisa. The opinion that said, Rebbe, who said that it's a question Daraisa or Darabonon, okay, Machzu Grusha is also Daraisa. So again, there's no reason to cancel her any further. We know that they know already what they're getting themselves into.
Pashtus,
or it could be that he still owed it to her. Yeah. Either way, the point is, he's not allowed to marry her Taraisa. But we're saying we shouldn't necessarily deny her Huxuba the second time around, because Dibre Torah in Tzrichim Chizuk, we don't need to further strengthen the Din Taraisa that she's also saying already. But according to the way of looking at it, that who is the one who initiates things, who's the one who's talking the other one into getting married, she may be the one who's convincing him to remarry her. Because again, it's a lot, yeah. And again, the reason is because she has nothing to lose by it. Because in this case, she has somebody who she was already previously married to, who she knows. And we learned before a few times already that the children from that remarriage will be kosher. It's also for them to be married. He ta'eva he. But we said ein banei ta'eva. The children are not ta'eva. The children are not mamzerim or psulim or what have you. Therefore, she might well do that. Okay. But again, what about according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that in that case the children would be considered mamzerim? So she wouldn't want to do that. She wouldn't want her children to be mamzerim. So we're back to the question: according to Rabbi Akiva, then where would there be a nafkamina between Rebbe's and Rabbi Shimon Elazar's reasons where we would say she gets the ksuba versus not? We could say the nafkamina would be if it's a woman who's already had relations marrying a kohen gadol. Where there it's not an isur lav, there it's an isur eser. But who isur b'psula yikach? The pasuk says we learned before a kohen gadol is supposed to marry a b'psula. So in this case she's a ba'ula. He's over on an eser, but there's no loisase involved, and therefore the children wouldn't be halalim, unlike if she was an amano or grusha or what have you. So again. Daraisa. There's no issue of Malkus, but still, they know they're being over on an Isser Daraisa. But over here, she's more likely to be the one who convinced him to marry her. Because again, she has nothing to lose from it. Her children are not going to be halalim, and she herself is not going to be a halala. Yeah. But we still have another possibility. What about, we learned before that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, yes, the children from such a marriage would be halalim, because even though it's only also under an eser, even though it's only this eser of a hu yishub of sila yikach, nevertheless, that's enough to pass all the children as halalim. We learned before that it depends on how you parse the pasuk, because the pasuk mentions that they have a hu yishub of sila yikach, almano grush b'chalala zaynes ela la yikach. So the question is, does the lo yichalo refer only to the last group, the almano, grusha, etc., or does it also refer back to the v'hu yishub b'sulah, that if he marries a non-b'sulah, then the children are going to be halalim? So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, she's not going to want, a ba'ula is not going to want to marry a kohen gadol, because she's not going to want her children to be halalim. So she's not going to try to convince him to marry her either. The nafkamina would be if the person remarries, if the person remarries, but stays together with his suffix soita. Suffix soita is what we usually think of as a soita, where he was mekane, he warned her al tisasri mishpleini. She went and was secluded with somebody. We don't know whether she, we don't know whether there was any tumah or not. We usually think of that as soita. In the Gemara's terminology, that's called suffix soita. As opposed to soita would be where she was definitely mizana, where we know where there's edim to that effect. Now, once he was mechanic to her, and she was nister, she becomes also to him until she drinks the mei saita. So, manda omer daraisa ha nami daraisa. So that's an eser daraisa. We learned before it's from the same pasuk as machzor grushasay, lo yucha bala risha and loshim lakachta achrei osher tamar. We learned achrei osher tamar includes the case where she's a saita. Yeah. So it's daraisa. Or mandam apneshu magila ha he magila way. According to the way of looking at it, who's convincing who? She would be the one that might be convincing him, because again, she's got nothing to lose from it. And that we said, even though we said it's an Isser Lav, that we said everybody agrees. That we said everybody agrees. The children are not mamzerim from it. Even Rabbi Akiva, who says yesh mamzer mechayev lavin, agrees not in this case. Because he said the difference is that in this case she's not zara etzloish. They were married. They were married from beforehand. Or they were never divorced, etc.
For the mandam to say it's not
Giva,
how can he say it's not
Daraisa
doesn't count?
Not Daraisa doesn't count. Rav is saying, I don't care Daraisa or Darabanan. I care who's convincing whom to get married. In this case, it's logical to assume, since she has nothing to lose by it, because she's already a suffix soita anyway, she's not any more author to anybody else, so she's more likely to be convincing her husband to stay with her. Or to remarry her, as the case may be. Yeah. And therefore we would say we don't want to give her uksuba. Okay. What about all the Rabmasi ben Chorosh to Omar Afilo Halach Baila Lashkoisa Uvala Bader Hasa Zaina? What about according to Rabmasi ben Chorosh, who says that even if on the way toward we said that once she becomes a suffix soita, she's also to her husband, according to Rabmasi ben Chorosh, if at that point on their way to the Beis Mikdash for the May Soita he has relations with her, then he makes her a Zaina. Now, it's true, that doesn't pass all the children, but nevertheless, she's not going to want to have the name of a Zoyna on herself, even though technically all that does is it makes her also to Kayanim, but still, it's a bad name. She doesn't want to give herself a bad name like that.
Because it's
Baderech,
she becomes Baderech?
No, not because Baderech just means any time from when the Kinui Yastira happened until the May Soter is given to her. But that just means, you might expect that, you know, on the trip, from wherever they live in Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, they might end up doing that. And everybody agrees it's also, but according to the Masim and Chodesh, it actually makes her a Zoyna in the sense that now, if her husband dies, she's also to marry a Kohen. So she's not going to want to do that. So we're back to the question, where do we have a nafkamina of a case, where do we have a case where there's a difference between the two reasons, whether she should or shouldn't get a huksuba? No, you have to say then that the difference between the nafkamina between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Elazar would be not a suffix soita like we were talking about, but a vadai soita, where she was definitely mizana. Namely, if she was definitely mizana, so she already has the name of a zoina anyway, she's already possible corner. So again, if it's a matter of daraisa, she's also to her husband daraisa anyway, achrei asher tamar, so there's nothing to talk about. No reason to deny her uksuba at that point. If you say that it's a matter of margulalei, of who's convincing who, she has nothing to lose at this point, definitely. She's already lost everything she can lose. So therefore, she might be convincing her husband to stay with her or to remarry her. And therefore we would say we take away uksuba and all her tonight uksuba, etc. in order to induce her to not do that, in order to induce her to want to get out of the marriage. And Rashi points out over here again that even according to Rabbi Akiva, we said before that everybody agrees that her children are not going to be mamzerim anyway, so she's not losing anything more out of that either by remarrying her husband. Tosfos has a bit of a discussion over here about what are we talking about exactly. Are we talking about staying married to him, or are we talking about remarrying him? Or are we talking about, you know, having relations with him? Because we also said that if they have relations on the way, then we said she's not going to be able to drink the May Sota anymore anyway. All right. Because the rule is roiv beilus etzel abal. We say that normally any and this is true in American law also, that in general children that a woman has while she's married are assumed to be from her husband. If she's particularly pritzistic, then not. Then we say that chazaka doesn't really exist. But ordinarily. Right, because we're saying she may have been mizana. We find there's evidence that she was mizana one time with somebody else. That doesn't necessarily mean that her children in general are mizana. Usually, you assume that most of the relations that she's had throughout her married life have been with her husband, and therefore that the children are kosher.
First of all, it could
be a based in hediotis, right? You know, doesn't you know? I mean, you need a rov to be you need a rov to be misadu kedushin, really, you know. But so, you know, I mean, not everybody is what they should be, right? You know.
Times when things weren't as smooth as
Yeah.
That's a shame. One time,
that's
by, no.